Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Welcome everyone, MMA Weekly with Austin and Chef Dan. I am Austin, this is my co-host Chef Dan. How are you doing tonight, Chef Dan?
I'm doing great, coming off of a very exciting week of combat sports. Can't wait to delve into this new week of combat sports. So, yeah, I'm very excited and can't wait to go into it.
Same, man. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was an exciting weekend of combat sports, especially for me and the channel in particular, which we'll talk about, and you'll definitely talk about it, like I said. And thank you guys for watching us live or on a replay on YouTube, Rumble, or listening to us on our podcasting platforms, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Reason, Anchor FM, etc. Appreciate the love and support you guys give us, and thank you so much, and let's go to what happens past Saturday, live in Orlando, Florida. UFC Fight Night, Kevin Holland versus Wonderboy Thompson. Now, for those of you who've seen the channel, me and my dad were there. We were at the arena, the Amway Center, watching the fights live. And I did a whole video. I just uploaded a video talking about my experience, if you want to check that out. Where I talked about like the experience, you know, what it was like in the arena, the excitement, etc. I did like a whole 30-minute video talking about it, and like I said in the video, I'm gonna say here, it's definitely something if you're a UFC fan, you should go at least one event, go once in your life, because it's a totally different experience. It's a different experience. It's fun. Trust me, you have a good time, Dan. I know you would.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd have to find a way to get it to the Barclays Center because Madison Square Garden is a bit too expensive for me right now.
Yeah, I agree. And they've had a Barclays Center pay-per-views. I don't know why they haven't done them recently. Hopefully go back to the Barclays soon. I remember the first ESPN show was on the Barclays when Dillashaw fought Henry Cejudo for the flyweight title. I was in the Barclays Center. But yeah, let's talk about this past card. And the main event was between Wonderboy Thompson and Kevin Holland, the welterweight division. Wonderboy Thompson wins via, it says TKO after round four, but it really should... It's a finish, but it's not really a knockout. It's more so Kevin Holland like just pouring during the towel because Holland could continue because he broke his hand during I think the first round because Wonderboy threw a kick and Holland used his hands to block it and eventually broke his hand. And as the fight kept going on, particularly in the third round, his right hand became basically non-effective for him. If you notice in the fight, Holland didn't throw his right hand at all or barely in the later half of that fight, and it sucks because the first two rounds were pretty damn exciting. I mean, this was an entertaining fight. I mean, it was fight of year contender after the first two rounds for sure, and Holland won the first round, rocked Wonderboy, like dropped it and had him backing up against the cage, and for a moment I thought Wonderboy was going to get finished by Holland. I really thought that, And then Wonder Boy came back, won the second round, and Wonder Boy looked like the old Wonder Boy in this fight. I mean, that guy kept landing so many punches to Holland, so many kicks, really head kicks. I mean, he just kept throwing it like he was like a video game character or like a movie character. He kept throwing head kicks, landing on Holland, and Kevin Holland's got a great chin. I mean, if you saw his fight with Joaquin Buckley, where Joaquin Buckley threw shots at Holland, Holland just laughed at his face. You know that guy's got just one of the best chins in all of MMA, and he showed it in this fight because Wonderboy threw everything at him, from head kicks, big wheel kicks, punches, the chins and sink he threw at him, and Holland still didn't go down. I mean, this was an impressive performance for Wonderboy, a vintage performance for Wonderboy. Turned out the clock at 39. And for Kevin Holland, good fight. Sucks he lost, especially because the hand injury played a part. Now, Wonderboy did admit that his hand was hurt too, so he broke his hand as well. So, still, great fight. I mean, entertaining. Watching it live, it was, I mean, whew. I mean, well, Dan, what are your thoughts on this fight? I'll let you speak first.
Nah, it was a great fight overall. Kudos to Kevin Holland on knowing how to entertain the crowd. And knowing that with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, the best way to give him an entertaining fight is a striking competition. So he essentially eliminated wrestling, grappling, or any type of groundwork, and really just struck with Wonderboy for the first two rounds. And that's what made it exciting, as those two guys went banging in the middle of the octagon. Later on, though, you saw that Kevin Holland's coaches started to ask for more ground game because they saw that, you know, defending the kicks with the hand wasn't really an optimal decision for him, as it started to really hamper him really in the later half of the second round and going into the third round as well. Kevin Holland, though, if there's anything, you know, he went out on his shield because there was rumors that this would be his last fight. He wouldn't fight anymore after this, that he was going on retiring. If this was a retirement fight, this was a great retirement fight. Way to go out on your shield and give them an entertaining fight. But if this wasn't, man, what I would love is to see him and Wonderboy's camp connect so that he could learn some more disciplined striking, because there were a lot of tells that Wonderboy's camp was picking up on as he was striking, and he has the power. But if there was more disciplined striking on his end, then this would have been a lot more fun. But overall, this was an amazing fight and a potential fight of the night. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and one thing about Holland that I felt that was a mistake that watching live in the arena I noticed is that Holland didn't use wrestling. He took Wonderboy down twice. He could have done work on top, but he just let Wonderboy up. And I was like, at the time, I was watching it live, I was like, that's a mistake. He should pounce on Wonderboy, go ground and pound, go for a submission, because Holland's got good submission game. And it may entertain fights, and grateful for that, obviously, but Holland had a chance to maybe, like, you know, to do some damage to Wonderboy and possibly could have won the fight potentially. Potentially, especially be on top position against Wonderboy, where it's his weakness. But you're right about Holland and going to like Wonderboy's camp and learning maybe like more like disciplined striking. I think that's a very excellent point. If you're Wonderboy for a little bit, you probably get better in the striking department, become a better martial artist. So I do agree with that statement there. Good point.
Yeah. So with that being said, is there anything else you want to add in your observation of this main event?
Yes. One thing I do want to notice is that I'll talk about is Dan Margliotta. When Dan Margliotta did this in the fourth round, we did, you know, when Han had the nut shot that caused him to fight to stop temporarily. He did this, and we all thought the fight was over. A lot of us thought. We started walking out there, you know, walking up the stairs to get out the arena, and then we find out the fight was still going on. It's like, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, Dan Margliotta, you gotta do better than that. I mean, you're a veteran ref. Everybody can't just do this, because we all know when referees do this, we know it means the fight's about to be over. And he got everyone fooled, thinking the fight was over. Even the announcers were confused. When I went back and watched the fight, you know, TV broadcast afterwards, they were confused by that. It's like damn. I'm like, damn, Margliotta, you got to come on now. I mean, I get, you know, I said refs can sometimes mess up. That's a big one, though. Especially even a veteran with Dan Margliotta. Surprised he did that. Just, you know, I mean, if you want to do time, I thought refs just do this. I mean, why not just do that?
Yeah, understandable. He'll do better.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, most definitely. That was like a gripe I had with the fight, was, you know, that thing with Dan Margiotta. And a lot of people did, but it is what it is. I mean, big victory for Wonderboy. Hopefully, I mean, we'll see what's next for him. Masvidal rematch or Pereira fights. I mean, I'm down for him either way. Heck, I would throw up him going up to 185 rematching Whitaker for a fun fight. Why not?
Yeah, there's plenty of options for Wonderboy after this victory. It was an impressive victory, and it's a victory that the UFC can't ignore.
Exactly.
That being said, we can move on from that fight to the next fight on the card, the co-main event. Rafael Dos Anjos versus Brian Barberina. This fight was in the welterweight division. Rafael Dos Anjos defeats Brian Barberina via submission, rear naked choke, in the second round. And Rafael Dos Anjos, man, he was just... I mean, Brian Barberina, he looked comfortable striking with Rafael Dos Anjos. But overall, Rafael Dos Anjos just kept moving forward. And he got what he wanted in the first round. And then just continued that same trend in the second round and was able to capitalize. And he just showed that he was a grizzled veteran. And he is not someone to be looked down on. If he gets a nice string of wins, there is a possibility we talk about Rafael Dos Anjos, you know, potentially in title contendership. Because this guy is still here, the strength, the power, the speed. And he only gets smarter with every matchup. And he just, I believe he just recently passed Frankie Edgar for most time spent in the octagon. Congratulations to him. But man, oh man, this was a just a dominant showcase by Rafael Dos Anjos. What was your observation, Austin?
What I was noticing was, one thing I've noticed, you mentioned he gets smarter with his fights. And fight IQ I want to talk about with RDA, because... One thing I've noticed with him, and I noticed this right after he submitted Brian Barberina, I was telling my brother this, is that RDA is a when RDA knows he has a clear advantage over someone in the grappling department, he uses grappling a lot. That's one thing. If you ever watch an RDA fight and we use wrestling heavy offense or submission wrestling heavy offense in his fights where he gets a victory, it's usually because he knows he has a giant advantage and he uses it every time. He watched the fight he had with Anthony Pettis, who won the lightweight title. He basically used raw wrestling in that fight to beat Anthony Pettis for the lightweight title. In this fight, he knew he had a clear advantage in the wrestling department and used it to get the victory and get the... Excuse me, sorry about that, but excuse me. He got the first, the second round submission. And in the first round, he almost had an arm triangle. Like, I was watching it, I was thinking, damn, went for the fence, the octagon fence. He would have got the arm triangle in the first round. That was the only thing that saved Brian Barberina from not getting submitted in the first round by arm triangle, was that. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, Brian's going to get submitted eventually. And then, of course, he'd be able to take Brian down in the second round. You know, Brian did a better job with his wrestling defense a little bit, but already got him down. And then he would get that rear naked choke and basically... get the victory for RDA, and it was a good fight. It showcases a fight IQ. He knew he had the clear advantage wrestling. He used it and got the submission. And that just shows how RDA's, well, you know, is a legend. I mean, this guy's been fighting in UFC since 2008. Yeah, 2008. He's been fighting the UFC. And yet, in late 2022, he's still winning fights. He was the number seven or like top, I think number seven lightweight at the time. Or he's in the top 10 lightweight. I know that. And he's still winning fights. He's still ranked in the tough weight class 14 years after making his UFC debut. And this is like at least 5-6 years after being champion. He's still ranked in winning fights. It just shows how good he is. And this is why he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And why a guy that definitely MMA fans appreciate. Because he's consistently good. Consistently performs. Brings it all. And yeah, great performance from RDA. And it's kind of crazy how I mentioned in my video about my experience in UFC Orlando how the first UFC show I went to, he was in the main event against Cowboy Cerrone defending his lightweight title. And he beats Cowboy Cerrone in first like a minute in that fight. And then he called out Conor McGregor. I remember he called Conor McGregor afterwards. And originally it was supposed to be him and McGregor was supposed to fight March of 2016. But he got that foot injury. And then Nate Diaz stepped in, who also called out Conor McGregor famously, more famously than RDA. And then we all know what happened there. And then RDA calls out McGregor here after the co-main event. this Orlando card, which he didn't mention. You know, 7 years ago, I made an event here. Now I'm back here. I'm going to call McGregor. And he calls out McGregor. And that's a fight that I definitely like to see. Now, is the UFC going to make it? I think there's a good, there's a decent chance, but a decent chance to be made. But that's a fight I like to see. RDA and McGregor do the rematch, considering they were supposed to fight 6 years ago. I mean, what are your thoughts on potential RDA McGregor fight? Is that something you want to see?
I mean, there is potential there, but I think the more box office look for McGregor right now would be Michael Chandler. After that is handled, then maybe, you know, him versus RDA could be a potential there. But right now, I think the bigger matchup that the UFC would look towards is Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good option. Or yeah, I think it's either gonna be McGregor Chandler, McGregor maybe Masvidal, or maybe RDA McGregor. Excuse me, call him fight. But yeah, I definitely understand what you mean. More box office. Chandler McGregor definitely has that box office appeal. But yeah, good smart call for RDA. We'll see what's next for him. Good victory. As we can transition from that fight from the the co-main event to the third fight in the card, which was in the flyweight division between Matheus Nicolau versus Matt Schnell, as Matheus Nicolau wins his fight via second round KO. Matheus, I mean, every time he landed a shot, it really hurt Matt Schnell. The one thing about Matt Schnell, you know, he got that impressive victory over Sumardaji back in the Long Island card in July. He can be a little chinny at times, but if you got a decent amount of power, and Nicolau definitely was shown with against Nicolau, where Nicolau dropped him that first round, hurt him badly, and it looked like he was about to get finished, but survived. And then the second round, I mean, Chanel couldn't take so many shots before Nicolau put him out. And this was a great performance from Nicolau, considering this was his last fight in his UFC contract. He won he bet himself when he won. I'm pretty sure he's going to get a good payoff from the UFC. I mean, UFC would be crazy not to re-sign this guy, considering he's top 10 in the flyweight division. He's got an impressive knockout. And yeah, I like the celebration he did, the sword, where after he knocked out Chanel, he pulled out a little sword, did a slash, and then put it back in. That was kind of cool. I got to give Nicolau some credit for that. I mean, this was a good performance for him, a guy who kind of gets slept on in his flyweight division. You know, he's not exactly a guy that gets talked about in terms of, like, contenders. And in a big spot in a main card of fight nights, he came through and had a impressive performance.
Yeah, absolutely right. That was a great performance by Matheus Nicolau. And your observations on Matt Schnell are absolutely right. We don't know where the next fight for Matheus Nicolau is, but at first we hope that contractual obligation gets done. But for Matt Schnell, you're absolutely right in the sense that he takes a lot of damage, and when he does, he's susceptible to dropping due to that damage. He has great grappling. He has great grappling skills, but if there's any way that I would ask, just from a fan's perspective, to change the game up is, you know, be more aggressive maybe with that grappling initially so that you're not taking as much damage, and find ways to, you know, mix in your striking with your grappling so you're always moving forward and dipping and, you know, faking the tuck and things of that nature, because it's little to no head movement or, upper body movement with Matt Schnell when he's in the octagon. But, I mean, with that being said, if there's anything else you want to add to this fight?
No, all I say is you're very good point about a little no head movement with Matt Schnell in his fights. That part, I just want to get, because that's a good point there that I didn't think about. So now I'm thinking about Matt Schnell fights, and you're right, he doesn't have the best head movement. But yeah, I mean, great performance for Nicolau. Hopefully he gets a new contract, and we see him have more fights in the UFC, considering he's not that far from a title picture in that flyweight division. But good performance. We can transition from the smallest weight class in the UFC to the heaviest, the heavyweight division, between Sergey Pavlovich and Tai Tuivasa. Sergey Pavlovich wins via first round knockout. I believe was it a minute? No, yeah, it was 54 seconds, under a minute. I like Tai Tuivasa. I'm a fan of Tai. It's hard not to like Tai Tuivasa. Fun personality, fun, exciting style, great fights, great knockouts he has. but this was a mistake. Even before the fight happened, I was saying I did not like the fact that he was coming back so soon after the fight at Zeragon in France back in September. We took a lot of damage and got finished by freaking Zeragon. Even though he hurt Gon, but still, Gon finished him. He got beat up badly. And I understand he didn't want to, you know, train during Christmas because he wanted to enjoy his Christmas, but it's like, yeah, the card in Australia is literally in February. But when you mention the Christmas aspect, my God, I can kind of understand, but it's like, damn, I don't like, and I think it came out to bite him coming back so soon against Sergei Pavlovich, who everyone's calling the white Francis Ngannou, and you know what? You might as well, considering all the knockouts that guy's had. He's got power like Ngannou. And, I mean, I think 15 of his 17 victories are by knockout. Something like that. Something crazy. I mean, that's... And going against Guy Pavlovich, who's got the longest reach in UFC, tied with John Jones, 84 inches. It's not... I mean, and after getting knocked out recently, it's not the greatest matchup. And Pavlovich made him pay and just hurt him badly. Dropped in, tried to fight back, but Ty couldn't really do anything. Jared Pavlovich just hit him again and just finished him, like, under a minute. It sucks because Ty was a big crowd favorite. Like I mentioned in my previous video about my experience in this event, that Ty was like easily one of the top, like, most beloved guys in the crowd. He was right there near Holland and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, took a lot of reaction. But yeah, good victory for Pavlovich.
Yeah, great victory for Pavlovich. Tai Tuivasa, he is a crowd favorite, just has to get back in the training room, has to take the training more seriously, get more discipline with the striking, because the everything else is there, just has to start producing wins against high caliber opponents. And that's not to say he just has to do that, but now you know that you're in the upper threshold, and you know you have to there's only but slight differences in this upper echelon, so he has to start making those differences. And we can move on from this fight on to the next fight on the main card. Roman Dolidze versus Jack Hermanson. This fight in the middleweight division. Ladies and gentlemen, this fight is going to change how people are training their athletes, what positions they're training their athletes for. Because Roman Dolidze, the way he caught Jack Hermanson in the second round, he catches him in some leg lock where both of their calves are interlocked with each other. He has Jack Hermanson from the back, and from there he's just wailing on Jack Hermanson due to them rolling in a grappling exchange. But he finds a way through trying to get the leg lock, and he locks him up, and from there, like, Jack literally could do nothing. This is one of those compromising positions where a jiu-jitsuka, if they're seeing that, if they saw that tape, that light bulb went off in their head, they saw that and they went, you know what, I could always grapple, but this right here can get me a vicious finish, because people will look at that and go, what can I do from that position? This, as DC said it on the commentary, I agreed with him 100%. This fight is going to change how people train their athletes. And that's just, I'm in total agreement with what DC said. That's the only assumption I could, like, that's the only observation I could come away with remembering this fight, because wow, oh wow, did Roman Dolidze put himself on the map with that finish.
Everything you said, I 100% agree. You're totally right. You're right, DC's right. This is going to change the way fighters are trained in submission game in the grappling department. Especially fighters are going to be more trying to pull off more and also train for that. And also fighters are pretty sure be trying to learn to defend that, because this was impressive victory for Roman Dolidze. Because to be honest with you, Roman was losing. He was not winning this fight. Jack Hermanson was picking apart on the feet, especially the leg kicks. He kept calf kicking him, and some of those kicks I heard, you could hear in the arena. And I think it was this fight, I forget, it was a Wonderboy Holland fight, and I forget which other fight, where every time a fighter threw a punch and landed, or threw a kick and landed, it was loud reaction, you heard it, and I kept going, like, ooh, like that, and some of those leg kicks Hermanson were landing were really, like, really loud, like, he really was messing up, Dolidze's leg, And he kept, and Delazzi had nothing from the stand-up department. And I feel like as great as victory as this was for Roman Delazzi, I feel like Jack Hermanson's messed up big time. Because he was winning the fight standing up. He was picking apart. I know he's a grappler, Jack Hermanson, but you were winning the fight standing up. Clearly, he had no answer for you. And you try to go for a takedown in the first round, and you got it, but then you reverse position. Almost had you in a similar position, and you end up in the fight. And you got lucky, escaped that grappling exchange. And then I don't know why he went for it again. He got a successful takedown, but he didn't rock Roman at all when he went for the takedown. And it kind of led to his downfall. And this was like an example of bad fight IQ from Jack Hermanson, but also it's also skill level for Roman Delazzi, because he is a very good grappler, and he showcased it in his previous fights as well. In this one, getting to that calf slicer and then trapping Hermanson to the point where he just finished him with punches. Although I think he could have gone rear naked choke if he wanted to in that position as well. But yeah, I mean, finish strikes are good too, and he got the finish that way. So good victory for Roman Delazzi, and I'm pretty sure he's ranked now considering he just beat number seven or eight guy in the middleweight division prior to that fight. And he got performance bonus. Him and Sergey Pavlovich both got performance bonuses. They're only two fighters that got it, besides the main event, which also got a fight, you know, the fight of the night, rightfully so. So I'll give a shout out to those two for, you know, give them credit for getting that performance bonus. And this was a good fight. But like I said, Hermanson had fucking made a mistake, but also give Roman credit for being creative and showcasing high level grappling as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So with that being said, we can move on from that fight to the next fight on the main card. Eric Anders versus Kyle Daukaus in the middleweight division. Eric Anders defeats Kyle Daukaus via TKO in the second round. And me personally, this was just Eric Anders displaying the difference of power between him and Kyle Daukaus. I know Kyle Daukaus wanted to try and grapple with Eric Anders, but Eric Anders was patient. He didn't gas himself out. He got himself to a good opportunity and was able to capitalize and finish Kyle Daukaus in the second round. But all in all, this was Eric Anders show. You know, just like I said, Eric Anders showcasing a difference in power. What did you see?
Exactly, showcasing difference in power. And also, Kyle Daukaus had no king take him to the ground. Once he knew he couldn't take him to, he was basically in trouble once he couldn't get a takedown on Eric Anders. Anders did a good job of most of the grappling, takedown exchanges, and defending the takedowns. And he just was the better striker of the two and kept popping him and hurting him. I know there was a head clash in the first round, but Kyle Daukaus was getting rocked prior to that head clash. And eventually Anders was going to find the punch that's going to hurt Kyle Daukaus, he did basically in the second round, just able to pull him away. And this Kyle Daukaus' performance was kind of frustrating because every time he kept doing the whole, you know, get on my back and I would try, you know, invite him to the guard. You know, Anders wasn't gonna do that, just kept, you know, leg kicking him, kicking his legs and stuff. And it got real annoying. I mean, the crowd was booing, you can hear the crowd booing Kyle Daukaus, and I was booing too. I was in that. And I was basically saying, you know, people around me were saying some things saying profanities basically at Kyle Daukaus for the way he was fighting. And I might have participated in that myself, to be honest with you. Because like, come on. It's like, bro, that's not going to work. Stop doing that. Get up and do something. Stop getting on your back and just try and expect him to get on your guard. He's not going to fall for it. You should know that. And Eric Anders get a bounce back victory. Good victory for him. And Kyle Daukaus, I think his third fight, he lost in a row because he lost to Roman Delazzi by that knee. I forget whatever fight he lost prior to that. But I think two or three fights in a row he lost. And yeah, he's in the crossroads right now for him. And we'll see what he does. But talking good for him. And another thing that bothered me about Kyle Daukaus, he came out with DMX. And then he had that performance. It's like, bro, come on, DMX, you fight like that? Oh, come on, man. Good song, DMX song too. I mean, jeez. And you from Phil? Never mind. Just sorry. Go ahead.
Nah, we'll move on from that fight to the first fight on the main card. Phil Rowe versus Nico Price. Phil Rowe defeats Nico Price in the third round via TKO, and this was a come from behind victory for Phil Rowe. Phil Rowe was kind of getting tagged up in the first round. Me personally, I thought he lost the first round, and things started to shift in the second round when he started to find his range, find where he was comfortable at, started to land punches, and came around to just finish it in the third round. I think it took a little longer than necessary for him to find that range, especially if you're the taller fighter. I don't think Nico Price really rushed into Phil Rowe's range too much. If anything, Phil Rowe was being just a little too hesitant. So that's where that's where a lot of that lies for me with Phil Rowe. But what did you see in this fight?
No, I'm in agreement with everything you said, where I thought he lost the first round, Nico Price, and it felt like it took him a lot longer than he should have to find the range, especially considering he's a longer, taller fighter in that fight against Nico Price, and he was able to finally catch Nico and hurt him and be able to finish him, because we call it a comeback victory for him, or not really, because I know the first round, but
he lost the first round.
Yeah. But I'm forgetting the second round. I'm trying to remember, did he win the second round or not? That's where I'm like kind of iffy. I'm forgetting who I gave the second round to. For some reason, this fight, I don't know why this fight I'm blanking on. And this is the first fight of the main card. And Phil Rowe was, he's from Orlando. Like, he trains in Orlando, lives here. So he was the hometown favorite. And, Nico Price did have a lot of fans here too, considering he trains in South Florida. So it's like a couple hour drive from where he trains and lives to Orlando. But it was a Phil Rowe crowd, definitely. You know, some people were criticizing Phil because of the fact that he missed weight by several pounds. And there was a guy two rows behind me basically yelling at Phil for basically missing weight and like basically talking all bunch of junk about Phil. Basically saying about how he's a punk for missing weight, etc. People drinking alcohol makes you say things, but yeah, good performance for Phil Rowe and finding hometown fans on the opening of a fight card on ESPN. Comeback victory against Nico Price, a guy who's well known in the division, and he's gonna have bigger fights from here now in his welterweight division for Phil Rowe.
Yeah, absolutely right. Bigger things are coming, but at the same time, he's gotta make weight. Like, that's a discipline. With that guy, all those obscenities I disagree with, but as a fighter, that's a discipline, and that's an agreement that you sign to as far as signing that contract, and that's a time before the fight, so you have a lot of time to make weight. That's a part of a fighter's responsibility. You can't shrug that off.
Yeah. Good performance for him. It sucks. If he missed, he made weight, he probably got a performance bonus. I think he would have, but hey, it is what it is.
Is there any fights on the preliminaries that impress you?
Yes, I want to talk about the first fight of the whole card between Jasmine Yaragui and Estella Nunes, as Jasmine Yaragui wins via second round TKO. Jasmine got rocked. She got dropped in this fight. In the first round, and it's first time seeing her in trouble. Like, uh oh, how does she respond to this? But she pulled through, was able to just survive the first round and do well at the end of the first round. Then she just kept catching Estella Nunes. Her boxing, her striking was so much better. And Jaragui, showed us why people were so high on her, especially after her debut performance on that Tio Vera Diamond Cruz card, where she was in the opening fight. She was on the main card, and she showcased why, and she was able to finish her with Estella Nunes, and that's in that second round where she finished her with some good ground and pound too, and it was a pressing performance, and she was cheered. People were cheering for her too. Like, she got a good reaction. Like, people were really high on her. And I remember some people around me, like in the crowd, were mentioning how this girl has the featured title challenger, for some reason I can say that, ran over her, which I think she is. I think this girl could definitely, in 2 years from now, be in that title picture. I think she's that good. She's that impressive. You watch her fights, and there's a reason why she's got all that hype, and she's earned it, especially her two performances, especially this one, too. So, shout out to Yasmin Jaragui.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. Any other fight on the prelims you want to talk about?
Shoot, there's another one. Shoot, what's actually I missed that one because of the sessions. Frank Marshall getting his UFC victory, his UFC debut over Marcel Rojo in the by KO in the first round. I didn't realize that was his UFC debut because I'm like, I knew Marcel Rojo, I knew the name, but I didn't know about Marshall. And then I looked up, oh, his UFC debut, and oh, he got a victory. Oh, finish over Marcel Rojo. I mean, good victory for him. Way to make your debut. So definitely want to give Francis Marshall a shout out there.
Yeah, most definitely. With that being said, we're going to close out our talks on UFC Fight Night. We'll move on to what's upcoming this Friday.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday. Opening. Go ahead.
Yeah, this Friday, 5:30 p.m., Bellator 289, headlining with Stotts versus Sabatello in the Grand Prix. This is a pretty good card by Bellator. They're getting a lot of things, you know, decided here as far as in the Grand Prix, and they have a lot of good matchups here. Rafion Stotts versus Danny Sabatello, Liz Karamuch versus Juliana Velasquez. We have Magomed Magomedov versus Patchy Mix. That's also part of the Bantamweight Grand Prix. Dalton Rosa versus Anthony Adams. Denise Kielholz versus Ilara Joanne. There's a lot of good fights here on this main card and also on the preliminaries. Are there any fights that you're looking forward to here on this Bellator card?
Oh, the main event for sure. Sabatello and Stotts. The trash talking these two have engaged in ever since Sabatello won his fight where they got in the cage and they were just talking back and forth with Big John basically being the mediator, holding the mic. Everything from that to the interviews just crapping on each other to the interview today of Ariel Helwani in studio MMA Hour where Sabatello stole the belts and basically Ariel and they almost got in a fist fight in the studio where Ariel had to be like the promoter and try to break them up. That whole ordeal to a couple weeks ago the press conference and last Bellator event where they were just kept talking trash and it's just when you these two just talk just trash talk each other, it just gets you more and more excited for this fight. And now I'm happy it's finally here to see these two fights. I mean, this is definitely super exciting. Both guys on lucky chair. They think the other guy ain't that good, and they're gonna prove it. Who's the better fighter and become the interim bantamweight title as well. They also get that and advance to the finals. And to me, I think I'm going with Stotts. Rafael Stotts. I think will win this fight. He'll finish him in the second or third round, or probably go decision. Because one thing about Sabatello is that if he can't take you down, he hasn't exactly. I haven't seen anything from Sabatello that lets me know that he can win other than taking you down and wrestling you to death. Because I have yet to see it from Sabatello. Any other skill set in terms of like good striking, whether it be kicking or punches or jiu-jitsu or etc. If he can't take you down and like just wrestle you a lot to death, I have yet to see him win via anything else besides that. And I think Stotts being the good wrestler he is not going to allow himself to get taken down by Sabatello. And I think it's going to become a striking match. And in that case, that we've seen Stotts has the better striking of the two. And I think he will catch Sabatello and hurt him badly in this fight. And I think it's going to lead to probably a finish in the second or third round. Or if Sabatello can survive, maybe a decision where he gets beat up badly or he's bloody and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I see no way really for Danny Sabatello to win this because both guys are very gifted at wrestling. And we both know that when two wrestlers enter the ring, enter the octagon, it's really the striking that kind of tends to dictate where the matchup will go. And like you said, I'm just in agreement with everything you said. Another fight that I feel is going to have the same story is Magomedov versus Patchy Mix. That one, really, the striking between these two. We're going to find out who's striking is better. Me, personally, I think Magomedov is going to win this because I believe he has a better grappling than Patchy Mix, but also the striking is there for him as well. And I think he's more hungry to kind of get back to, getting that rematch against Rafion Stotts. He's going to find a way, some way to get, you know, fight through this Grand Prix tournament and get to Rafion Stotts again.
I totally agree 100% with what you said. I think Magomed Magomedov is going to win this fight because I think he's the better grappler than Patchy Mix. And you know, Patchy Mix is a very good jiu-jitsu guy, but at the same time, I think Magomed's better, especially that Dagestani wrestling slash sambo. And also, I think with one thing with the martial arts sambo is they also teach you striking as well. Like it's very good for mixed martial arts. Fair watch like Russians practice that martial arts, and I think Magomed has the better striking of the two. This is what I've seen from Patchy Mix. Like if you remember in his last fight against Horiguchi won the two rounds where it was mostly standing because Patchy Mix didn't exactly land anything too clean on Horiguchi. I really hurt him in that fight, and even though one Archer Lev fight that he lost, that if I, you know, after the first two rounds, it was mostly a stand-up fight, and Archer Lev was able to pick him apart and come back, being now 2 and win that fight. And I think because of that, I think if Magomedov is going to be able to neutralize the grappling of Patchy Mix and keep it standing, in that case, he's going to pick apart Patchy Mix and take him down, maybe, you know, dominate him too. So I think Magomedov will win. We'll get the rematch between Rafion Stotts and Magomedov. I mean, I felt that way when the tournament was. I felt that way after, you know, before that tonight. I felt like we're getting the rematch, and even when the tournament started, I kind of have a feeling we're gonna get the rematch with these two. And I think we will get the rematch of Magomedov and Rafion Stotts, and that's gonna be an exciting fight because the first fight was close. You know, Stotts won. It was a competitive fight. I can't wait to see if, you know, when if these two do win their fights, how the rematch will be.
Absolutely right. So, guys, please tune in on YouTube. They give away the preliminaries for free on YouTube at 5:30 Friday. Check it out. December 9th, Friday, 5:30 YouTube, and the main card starts at 9 p.m. Rafion Stotts versus Sabatello headlines. We also have Patchy Mix versus Magomed Magomedov. We can move on, though, from that fight to the upcoming bout on Saturday, December 10th. Jan Blachowicz versus Ankalaev for the interim light heavyweight championship.
No, the official. It's not the interim. It's the official. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So then as, excuse me. What's this guy's name?
Yuri Prohaska.
Yuri Prohaska. Yuri Prohaska had to put down the title due to an injury. Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev is going to be for the vacant title. And I guess one of these two guys are going to immediately face Glover Teixeira because Glover Teixeira is definitely waiting in the wings. And I guess Yuri will come back when he's ready and fight for the title as well. It's going to be a bit of a round robin here in the lightweight division, but that definitely gives an opportunity for these two guys to step in and potentially hold gold, but also gives an opportunity for someone else, if they're very impressive, to shoot and skyrocket up into the the title picture. But we have Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev. Austin, where do you see this matchup going?
I'm excited for this fight. Really am, because they're, you know, and it sucks that Yuri got hurt. That sucks because I really want to see that rematch with him and Glover. But hopefully Yuri recovers, recovers and able to perform to the best of his abilities like he was before the injury. And for this fight, I think I see Ant Magomed and Kalayev win this fight. Cause I just think he's got more ways to win than even Jan Blachowicz. See, one thing about Jan Blachowicz, that if you go back and watch his last two victories, which were Israel Adesanya title defense against Israel Adesanya, and then the Rakic fight, one thing is that both guys came aggressively at him and were throwing kicks immediately at him. And Jan Blachowicz, one thing he's done very well is checking leg kicks, and that's one of the reasons why he beat Israel Adesanya. And I think that's also led to the Rakic injury that happened in that fight as well, because all the leg kicks on Jan kept blocking and kept hurting Rikic's leg. But Magomed Ankalaev is kind of more of a slow, steadier fighter. Not that both guys, you know, Israel or Rikic are crazy or wild. They're not really, but they don't start as fast as, you know, Magomed doesn't start as fast as those two typically. And I think that's going to might draw from And I think that's a thing that will draw from Jan's timing, especially if Jan might get comfortable with stand-up. Because in the stand-up, Jan's got a chance to really hurt Magomed and maybe land that legendary Polish power to hurt him. But I don't think Magomed will. I think Magomed will do a good job avoiding getting hit too many damaging shots, and he'll take down Jan Blachowicz and probably holding down for a while too. Maybe, you know, causing Jan Blachowicz to be a little bit more hesitant with his hands because he has to worry about that takedown of Magomed and Goliath. And then I think he'll use that to his advantage and basically be able to use a lot of wrestling heavy attack to hold Jan Blachowicz down and, you know, do some damage on top of him. And maybe do some decent work standing up. Well, some decent work. I think probably in the later rounds when Jan's a little bit more tired, when he doesn't worry about the punches Jan's throwing being as powerful as the beginning. I think he'll get a decision victory using a lot of his wrestling heavy offense in his fight, Magomed and Goliath. I think that Magomed and Goliath will be your new UFC heavyweight champion. Although I wouldn't rule out potentially in the early rounds where Jan catches him and hurts him badly, especially with his left hook, that legendary Polish power to say.
Yeah, I see it more of a toss-up. I'm really not favoring anyone in this matchup. I could see it going either which way, but like you said, the ways that you described, I'm in total agreement. Those are the ways that I see it really happening. If it's Ankalaev, it's going to be by decision, and he's going to slowly but surely break down Jan. Maybe not even decision, he could get a late stoppage. If it's Jan, it's going to be an early stoppage due to the power, or he could possibly drag it out later, but that's all after he's caught Magomed Ankalaev a few times and, you know, tired him slash, you know, got him dazed. But those are the ways I see it happening. From there, we can move on from that fight to the next fight, co-main event. In the lightweight division, Paddy the Batty Pimblett versus Jared Gordon. This is going to be an exciting matchup. Me personally, you guys know I'm a big fan of Paddy Pimblett, but this is a step up in competition. Jared Gordon is no slouch, and Paddy has been showing some undisciplined ways in some of his fighting. So for me, man, if you know, even though I'm a Paddy fan, if being totally objective, I also see this being a toss-up. I don't see Paddy's way of victory being the striking. If anything, he's going to have to take Jared Gordon down and from there, you know, show some of his grappling. But if Jared Gordon wins, I would not be surprised if it's by KO, TKO, because Paddy is very undisciplined in his stand-up defense and the way he just... You know, just the way he defends punches and the way he's just standing, period, in the stand-up game. What do you say?
I agree with what you said about Paddy Pimblett being undisciplined in terms of the striking defense and how he leaves himself open to get hit. You saw in his first fights in UFC where Luigi Vandarama. Was it? Wait, what was it? Say it one more time. It cut out there.
Luigi Vendramini? Something like that? Or Vendorama? Something like that.
I forget. If you go back and watch Paddy's first fight in UFC and even...
Vendramini.
Vendramini. Luigi landed a lot of shots in Paddy. Despite the fact Paddy came up was able to win that fight. And even the second fight, you know, Paddy did get hit, so he got dropped in that second fight the Mexican fight. I forget his name, too.
Rodrigo Vargas.
I knew his last name was Vargas. And he did get dropped against Vargas and also got hurt. He's known to have bad striking defense, and going against Jared Gordon, who is a slight, you know, he's a step over competition. For Paddy Pimblett, for the other guys he's fought, and yeah, if you're not careful, Jared might could probably hurt him. Although Jared could definitely hurt Paddy Pimblett. I don't know if he's gonna knock him out potentially, but he'll definitely like rock Paddy Pimblett and maybe cause him to change the way he fights. If Paddy's gonna win, it's gonna be through grappling. He's gonna have to get this fight to the ground and use his jiu-jitsu, because Paddy Pimblett's got good jiu-jitsu. That's the one we've known about him. Especially in his recent UFC fights, but even the Cage Warriors, is that he gets on the ground, you're in his world, and he's very good at going for submissions and doing work on the ground. But and And I think for if you're not Jared Gordon, excuse me, if you're Paddy Pimblett, you definitely got to take it to the ground and make it and try, you know, go for submissions, etc. Because that's where you got an advantage where you can might submit Jared Gordon. And I think that's how he's going to do it. I think Jared Gordon, excuse me, Paddy Pimblett will win via submission around the second round. I think he's going to win. I think Jared Gordon will make it competitive early on, very competitive, but I think Paddy Pimblett will get the takedown he needs or submission position he needs and be able to put away Jared Gordon. And I think it'll be a good victory for Paddy Pimblett. It'll be his best victory between the opponents fighting, and also the fact that this is his first pay-per-view fight he's ever been on UFC. A lot of fights were not on pay-per-view, they're on fight nights. Two of them were in England, so the atmosphere was definitely felt like a pay-per-view. Considering he was like the big star in England, now he's fighting in America in his pay-per-view debut in a co-main event. This will be his biggest fight and the biggest victory in his career, and I think he'll pass because what usually seems like in big moments, Paddy Pimblett tends to shine. Whereas Jared Gordon hasn't exactly had his big moments. I mean, whoever thought Jared Gordon would be a co-main event with pay-per-view? Let's just be honest. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
I'm in agreement with you there, but like I said, I see this going either way, but hopefully your lips to God ears that Paddy's able to secure that victory. We can move on, though, from that fight to the next fight on the main card. This is in the welterweight division. Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Alex Morono. I got Santiago Ponzinibbio winning this one, man. I know Alex Morono's been, he's had a couple good, decent fights recently. But Santiago Ponzinibbio, man, he's got that power. He's been very impressive. I think he's going to win this one, man. What do you say?
Totally agree. Ponzinibbio's winning this one. The problem with this is Alex Morono is taking this on super short notice. Because really, it's supposed to be Ponzinibbio and Robbie Lawler on this card. But Robbie Lawler, a couple of days ago, pulled out. And basically, Alex stepped in and took the late replacement. And that's why it's fights at 180. It's a catchweight at 180 instead of 170 because Alex basically said, like, I can't make 170. It's not enough time. Just do catchweight, and they did. But, you know, it's just good for both guys. And I think Ponzinibbio having the, you know, training camp and preparing for a fight, I just think it's going to be a lot sharper with what he does in the cage or octagon, excuse me. And he's going to be able to pick apart Alex Morono, considering Alex has been on a roll. He's won 4 in a row. He's won 5 of his last 6 and 8 of his last 10 fights. So he's been on a roll, Alex has. But I just think the short notice fight is going to be too much against Ponzinibbio. He's got power in his hands, good striking. The guy who, even though he lost to Michel Bahia, he arguably could. It was close enough to where some people thought he beat Michel Bahia. This is Michel Bahia who's taking his career more seriously, too. He's not doing all that antics, too. So, I mean, that shows you how good Ponzinibbio is, and I think Ponzinibbio is going to get the victory here. Could probably see maybe a stoppage, maybe not, maybe a decision. I don't know, but Ponzinibbio, I'm with you, is going to win this fight.
All right, so we can move on from that fight to the next fight in the middleweight division. Darren Till versus Drakus Duplessis. It sucks I have this thought about this fight. Darren Till winning would surprise me. It sucks that I have this thought about this fight, but what is, like, Darren Till has not shown me any evidence in the recent fights to show that he's going to come out here and be very impressive against the Drakus Duplessis that we know he's hyper energetic, has a lot of power, has a lot of bounce in that ring, and is willing to go all 3 rounds, has the gas tank to go all 3 rounds, and wants to even push himself to go 5. I wouldn't even, like, I'm not wishing it, but I wouldn't be surprised if in some way, somehow, Darren Till couldn't continue this matchup due to some weird injury that happens.
I hate to say it's possible. I hate that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope it doesn't happen. But I won't be shocked, unfortunately, if it does happen. I'm with you. I haven't seen anything from Darren Till in recent fights that made me suggest he can beat Duplessis. I mean, it sucks. I like Darren Till. I like him as a personality. He's a good, you know, good personality. His come up was very impressive. I mean, the welterweight division. You got, you know, this is a guy who had a lot of hype, especially going to that Woodley title fight back in 2018. And he just has, just, I mean, he doesn't have the best performances in middleweight, or he freaking, almost, I mean, or he freaking, actually, he had a good performance against Robert Whittaker, to be fair. He did. Well, Whittaker clearly won that fight in middleweight. And then he fought Derek Brunson, and didn't go well for him. And unfortunately for him, his performances haven't been good, the best. And also, he just keeps getting injured. He's pulling out, getting injured. I mean, he's only fighting once a year now. I mean, 2020 fought once. Last year he fought once. This year is 2022. It sucks, because Darren Till is an entertaining fighter and got a good personality. And you know, he's training with Hamzat and, you know, working on his, supposedly on his wrestling, but I just don't know if it's going to work against Duplessis, who Duplessis, yes, is a striker somewhat, but he has a lot of, you know, grappling. He does use grappling a lot in his fights. I mean, he tried to take down Brad Tavares. He's a lot of wrestling against him, and Tavares is hard to take down. He did take down Tavares in his last fight. And then his first couple, and I remember he got like a decent amount of submission victories in the regional scene in South Africa and like other promotions. And I forget who he submitted in the UFC. He submitted somebody. I forget who. But Duplessis definitely got good grappling, and he's a strong guy too. And I think he can use that to his advantage to mix the martial arts against them, Darren Till. And also, I just think he's a crisper fighter. In terms of the punches he throws, especially recently compared to Darren Till, I think he's going to beat him for probably like a decision or maybe a late stoppage. And it sucks. I want Darren Till to win, but I until I see Till win, I can't group. I guess against Duplessis, I can't, you know, pick Till against him. I gotta see him beat Duplessis to believe he can do. I gotta see him do it, and I don't think he's going to do it. Plus, he's too good. Either Duplessis can be a slow starter at times, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be enough for Darren Till to capitalize and win.
All right. Yeah, we're both of the same mindset, but at the end of the day, we're just hoping that, you know, it's a completed fight and Darren Till could just complete the fight. That's the biggest wish right now. Darren Till could complete the fight, then that'll be a big step forward. We can move on, though, to the first fight on the main card in the
featherweight division.
In the featherweight division, Bryce Mitchell versus Ilya Topuria. I like Ilya Topuria. I got Bryce Mitchell winning this, but I don't say that there isn't a way for Ilya Topuria. Because if there's one thing that I feel like that hasn't... I know Bryce Mitchell has done some great things in the UFC. His grappling has been very, very amazing. But I don't think he's been tested yet in the striking department yet. And if Ilya Topuria can do that and, you know, get, you know, his grappling defense can be good enough to keep Bryce Mitchell on his feet, then that would be a gateway for Ilya Topuria to win. But other than that, I really see Bryce Mitchell winning this fight because that grappling he has, the skill he has, and not only that, he's deceptively strong for his size.
Yeah, he is strong for his size. Yeah, for me, I struggle with this fight because I like Bryce Mitchell. I'm a fan of Doug Nasty. I like him. I want him to win, but the part of me thinks Topuria might win because Topuria's got a good, you know, background in grappling and wrestling, and Topuria's got good hands too. And I think Topuria does, if I remember correct, does attack the body a lot. And I think that's something we haven't seen Mitchell go against someone who really throw hands like that. I mean, Barboza, yes, but Barboza is not the same Barboza of old. Although still a good fighter, But I think Topuria being younger and a little bit more in his prime, things not going to be the same as going against Edson Barboza now, who, in my opinion, still should be a lightweight, not a featherweight, but that's just me. Yeah, I know he hurt Barboza with his hands on Mitchell, but I just don't know if he's going to pull off against Topuria. And I am leaning towards Topuria slightly, but it's not that a lot. So I think Topuria's got good wrestling, good jiu-jitsu enough to where it won't be able to, where Mitchell won't be able to be as effective. I think he's got the better hands to where I think he can hurt Mitchell and win the fight. But part of me thinks, but part of me is looking back at Mitchell's last fight against Barboza and thinking, maybe, you know, that this corner is someone like Teporia, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I want Bryce Mitchell to win, but I'm just leaning slightly to Teporia. I could be wrong, and part of me, I hope I'm wrong, because I like Bryce Mitchell, but we'll see Saturday night. It's good. It's a good fight. This is probably, for me, one of the fights I'm looking forward to most in the, in this pay-per-view. It's the title fight and this fight. This, I mean, yeah, very good match. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, you're absolutely right. This, the title fight, and even the co-main event, because Patty the Batty, the first time in America, you know, fighting on American soil, it's going to be big.
Well, first time fighting in front of fans.
We're in front of our fans on American soil. You're right.
Yeah.
But,
go
ahead.
I was saying, I can't wait for that. Also, both guys are undefeated, Teporia and Mitchell, so someone's old going, it's going away. Someone's going to take their first loss.
Someone's always got to go. You're absolutely right. But that's the main card right there. Is there any... this is a toss-up. Is there any fight on the preliminary that you're really excited about?
I'm excited about Rosas Jr., the 18-year-old kid, fighting, making his UFC debut. 18 years old, fighting the UFC, people. 18 year, let me take this in. An 18 year old fighting the UFC. That's exciting. I want to see how he does, considering this guy talked about how he was basically managing his high school life with his fighting career. Yeah, he's 18. Look it up.
No, that's not it. Never mind. You're right. You're right. This is an exciting fight. Me personally, I think the biggest fight on the preliminary that could have been on the main card, Chris Curtis versus Joaquin Buckley in the middleweight division. That's going to be a banger. I thought you were going to go with that one. That's more of a toss-up. Like, we know what both of these guys are capable of. So, you know,
Yeah, but for me, the reason why I chose Rosas Jr. is because of the fact that I want to see how this 18-year-old does. I mean, how often do you see someone not 20 years old fighting the UFC or a major MMA promotion? That's why I won. That's why I'm. That's the one that came to my mind. It's like, man, I want to see how this fight goes with him. I kind of want to see. I mean, it's kind of like uncharted territories for the UFC. And that's why it kind of got my excitement. That's the one that came to my mind. Obviously, Joaquin Buckley and Chris Curtis is definitely an exciting fight. I mean, that could have been the main card. I mean, both guys who are very entertaining fighters, good strikers. For the most parts, and I think this is going to be an action-packed fight. I think that could be maybe a fight a night potential, a sleeper fight a night, Joaquin Buckley and Chris Curtis.
This one is going to be, I think it's going to be just as fun, not just as fun as Wonderboy versus Kevin Holland, but you're going to see a lot of striking. There's not going to be a lot of grappling here. It's going to be a lot of striking between these two guys. So I can't wait. And both of them have power. So we're going to find out who, you know, is more confident in their power, who backs down, who's more disciplined, things of that nature. That one, to me, is going to be a fun fight. Any other fight on the preliminaries?
Besides those two, I want to see if Jairzinho Rozenstruik does against Chris Dawkins. That's the main event of the prelims. Both guys definitely need a win. Rozenstruik come up a loss to Alexander Volkov back in June. Then Chris Dawkins come up that loss to, I believe, Curtis Blades in March. Yeah, if I remember. Yeah, I was trying to remember when was the last fight. It was Curtis Blades in March. Chris Dawkins. And both guys that need a win. Both guys in the top 10 of that heavyweight division, or top like 12, somewhere around that range. And I think Rozenstruik should win. Personally, I think it'd be an entertaining fight for. I think it'd be an entertaining highlight reel. Well, I mean, not highlight reel, but it'd be an entertaining finish from Rozenstruik. Personally, he's good. Rozenstruik's entertaining for the most part. I mean, if he's like that Ngannou knockout, his career has been up and down ever since he got knocked out by Ngannou in like 20 seconds. Kind of feels that way, where one fight he looked good, he'll bounce back, and then the next fight he just loses, and it's like, you know, dominantly, and then he'll bounce back. It's like kind of like that with Rozenstruik ever since that kind of loss.
So we shall see. But at the anyways, this card happens on Saturday, December 10th, 6 p.m. This the main card is on pay-per-view. I can't wait. This is going to be a very good card. Back-to-back cards, I think. Both Bellator and the UFC putting on great shows. So I can't wait. It's going to be a very exciting weekend of combat sports. Austin, what do you say?
Total agreement. It's going to be an exciting weekend of combat sports. The UFC, the UFC Saturday night and the pay-per-view 282. Probably lose to Yuri and Glover Teixeira. Still a good pay-per-view card overall. With the Magomed Ankalaev and Jan Blachowicz fight, the Paddy Pimblett fight's exciting, seeing Paddy Pimblett in the pay-per-view for the first time. You got the Duplessis, Darren Till fight. You got the Ponzinibbio, always a good fight, good fighter. I mean, and you also got the Tabora and Mitchell fight, where someone's always got to go and that's, you know, up-and-coming featherweights. And even the Joaquin Buckley and Chris Curtis fight is exciting to see. You also got Raul Rosas Jr., seeing him make his UFC debut at 18 years old, and then of course you got the Rosenstruik and Chris Dawkins fight. Good card overall. And then the night before with Bellator, the semifinals of the bantamweight tournament with Magomedov and Patchy Mix, and of course the main event, the heated matchup between Rafael Stotts and Denny Sabatello. And it's a good, can't wait for this upcoming weekend of fights, both Bellator and UFC. It's gonna be exciting. I can't wait to break it down with you guys next week. We got a lot to talk about, and a lot of good as well, mostly. Can't wait for that.
All right, well, that's the end of the show. I want to say thank you guys so much for joining us on whichever platform you are joining us, whether that be on YouTube or you're joining us on the podcast platforms, on StreamYard, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever that may be. Spreaker, thank you guys so much for joining us. Austin, any last words?
Thank you guys for the love and support you give to the show, the channel. Appreciate the love and support you guys give us. And thank you. Don't forget to get this video thumbs up and, you know, share the video. And we, like I said, love and support. Without you guys, this channel wouldn't be anything. So appreciate the love and support. And thank you so much. And coming through this weekend, he's signing fights and talk about them next week. But I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I'm still buzzing from last Saturday at the Amway Center, the Holland and Wonderboy fight card. And I'm definitely going to feel that buzz this upcoming weekend. Definitely. I can't wait. Let's go. Woo!
Most definitely. And guys, don't forget, you guys can always check out Austin's summary of his experience at Orlando for UFC Fight Night. The video is right there at the BX Sports Jedi Network. From Austin and Chef Dan, thank you guys so much. Have a good night. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are